Amen. Thank you, Brother Perry. Appreciate that. Have your Bible and you'll turn with it to the the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the 8th chapter. Let me make you aware that on the back table in the vestibule, there are some flyers for Bible school. They don't have the time on them because when we did the flyer, we didn't have everything set yet, nor about supper, but you can pass those out and share that information if you will. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at the 26th verse, we believe that Dr. Luke was the writer of the book of Acts. When we get to the 26th verse, one of God's special servants, Philip, who had been chosen by the church to be one of the first deacons, one of the original seven, is out doing the work of a Christian and of a deacon. He's out sharing the gospel. Philip has gone earlier to Samaria, a place that nobody wanted to go, and God's working many miracles there. There are many wonderful things going on. But in the 26th verse, God has arranged for Philip to have what is known as a divine appointment. A divine appointment is a place, and is with persons where God decides He's going to use one of His children to intercept in the life of that particular person. Philip has a very special divine appointment we're going to read about. He's down in Samaria. He's doing the work of the Lord. The fruit of the Lord is coming and people are being saved. But God sees the chance for a divine appointment not only to affect the people of Samaria, but following the teachings of Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we begin at verse 26. Philip, and I need you to know about Philip, that Philip was not an ordained minister. It wasn't some pastor out there doing it. He was not one of the apostles. He's just a willing servant who God says, Philip, I've got a divine appointment for you. Let's read verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and he went there. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now what we have here is a man who's come as far as Ethiopia. He has come to Jerusalem because he has heard through various voices in various times and people sharing with him, you can find the one true God there. So he has come to the Jewish temple. He is trying to fit in as a non-Jew and to discover what they have. And then we come and we find that he says he went there to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading, apparently in his time there, he had gotten a copy of the words of the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go and join this chariot. And Philip ran behind him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. I'm in verse 30. Do you understand what you're reading? The fellow says to him, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now the passage of Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation and judgment he was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life was removed from the earth. Now I want you to understand that here's Philip. He's being faithful to the Lord. He goes up. And he hears a stranger. He hears someone of a different skin color. And they are riding along in a chariot. The eunuch was going home. The belief is that he really hadn't found what he was looking for. He was still searching. He's reading the words of Isaiah, but he really hadn't found what he was looking for in Jewish worship and at the temple. Philip comes up beside him, and he hears him reading it. And he asked him, do you understand it? He said, how could I unless somebody explains it to me? And so Philip follows through on the divine appointment. He doesn't know this guy. Crawls up in the chariot with him, and we see what happens. And he begins to read the scripture. The eunuch in verse 34 answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Who is the passage talking about? Now, for those of you that maybe know your Bible well, Isaiah here is talking of the suffering servant. Many years, thousands of years before Christ came, Isaiah has predicted that Jesus will come and that he will be a suffering servant. He will be one who offers himself as a sacrifice. Now, the sad truth of this is the Jews have missed it. Jesus has long since been resurrected. He's gone to heaven. The church has started, and here this fellow has gone to Jerusalem, and the Jews have this passage, but they completely missed it. They're still caught in their ways. But he says, of whom is he speaking of? As they went along the road, in verse 36, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning the scriptures, he preached to him Jesus. Philip took the opportunity to share with this man how an Old Testament passage had pointed to the Savior who had come and offered his sacrifice for many. Now I want you to notice what happens next. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, that's the interesting thing. Philip's obviously talked to him about how to be saved. He's talked to him about the necessity of being baptized. And they come to some water, and the eunuch says, well, can we stop right here? What stops me from being baptized? I want to be a believer. I want to be one. As Philip said in verse 37, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, and Philip as well with the eunuch, and he baptized him. When he, meaning the eunuch, came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. This is, ladies and gentlemen, a divine appointment. God had selected Philip to go and do this. Now, the interesting thing about this is Philip had a choice. Philip could have said, Lord, my ministry here in Samaria is very productive. I'd rather stay here. I don't want to do that. But Philip didn't. Philip goes down there and he witnesses to this guy. And the guy goes away rejoicing because he's found Christ. Now that in itself would make a divine appointment a wonderful thing, except for this. This is a believer going back to a place where they didn't know Christ. You see, the Lord, with his divine appointments, always makes a way for somebody to hear about the Lord. But not only did he hear about the Lord, he came to know the Lord. And the beauty is he went back to his country. And who does he report to? He's the treasurer for Queen Candace. We believe that this is how the gospel began to be spread in Ethiopia. God just took a willing servant, a divine appointment, and that willing servant offered himself, his knowledge of Christ. Now, Philip didn't have all the answers. He just had Jesus. So, every one of us, and I could stop right here and we'd get out of here. You'd all be real happy of getting out this early. Every one of us, really, every week of our lives, we may not realize it. We probably miss more than we ever realize, have divine appointments. You say, well, God hadn't spoken to me. No, but there's been somebody every week, and it has for me, it has for you, that has intersected our lives or come across our lives or that we have a chance to do something with, to share with them. Now, what you need to understand is too often in the church we think if we share with someone they're going to be offended. There's that possibility, but we're still told to. But I want to take the pressure off of you. Not everybody that you share a word with the Lord with is instantaneously, like the eunuch, going to become a Christian. One of the great principles of Scripture is called sow, water, and reap. Now, I am not much of a gardener, except in the fact that I will come to your garden, I will receive what you have picked, chucked, and cleaned, and I will go home and give it to Rose and let her cook it. And I will enjoy it, I promise you. So, some of you know that in order to get something to grow, first thing you have to do is what? Come on, talk up. Don't act like you don't know it. I'm going to come look at your garden and spray Roundup on it.
You have to put it in the ground.
You have to put the seed in the ground, right? That's the principle of sowing. In your divine appointment, this next week or in this time, you're going to get the chance to sow seed. You're going to get the chance to just say something, do something, live in a way that somebody sees Christ. That's sowing the seeds. Now, you may never, when you get to heaven, you may have somebody walk up to you and say, thank you for sowing the seed of the gospel. And you go, well, I really don't know you. Well, about 25 years ago, we met. and you just happened to tell me, as I was going through a hard time or I was going through this or that, you just happened to tell me about your experience with Jesus. And eventually I found Jesus as my Savior. And I'm in heaven because you sowed. Well, there will be some times when you don't do the sowing, you do the watering. The person has already had the seed sown, and they're maybe beginning to ask questions, or they're like some of our children, they've been coming to Sunday school, and they're learning, and they're growing, so you get to water. Because last time I checked, if you don't water the garden, nothing's coming up, right? Well, the last part of that is reap. Some of us are very, very fortunate that we get to reap. That means we get to see what somebody else did. A few weeks ago, we did a baptism, and we do baptisms right often around here, and I get the privilege of baptizing these folks. But if the truth be known, I didn't sow the seed for them. It had already been sown. You had watered it by your presence, by your being Christian around them and toward them. That I just happen to be the one that gets to experience the reaping. There will be a pastor that will follow me one day. And he'll have the same privilege. There will be children that grew up in this church or grandchildren, and they've come to know the Lord. They didn't come during my time here, but the time's going to come when Olivia is going to come to know the Lord. And Olivia, you've planted the seed, or parents have planted the seed, and you've watered it, and he may get the chance to reap. So the reason I say that, don't think that your divine appointment always means that it happens right then. We don't have any jack-in-the-beanstalk beans where you can throw it in the ground and it'll grow up and you can go get the golden goose. Do y'all know Jack was a preacher? Y'all didn't know Jack was a preacher. Have you ever known any fellow that would go after a golden chicken and not eat it? We'll go to the Golden Arches and get chicken on a biscuit if we can. Listen, that's gospel bird. Y'all get that later. You get that later. You come tell me, okay? Now, I want to narrow it down very quickly. This next week, those of you that are working in Bible school, maybe it's your just, well, I'm just a helper. I'm just an instigator. I get to stand up here during the opening session and kind of go through all that. You are going to be afforded the opportunity, once again, of a divine appointment. I hope that they come. There are actually some children that live almost to where Alton lived, down Holloway's Church Road, who I think had been here twice when we were having some kind of event. Those children, and one of them I think has some special needs, or maybe more than one of them do. Those children, until they had come about 6 months ago, and they've come one other time, had never been in a church. Can you imagine somebody as close to all of the churches as we have, and those three children had never been in a church? And our people have already begun to plant the seed. Now, we didn't jump on them and tell them, you must be here every Sunday. If you're not here, you're not. We've just invited them. The seed's planted. I pray those children are going to be here this week. For those of you that teach them, for those of you that feed them, for those of you that teach and sing, that is a divine appointment. And you are sharing the gospel with them through your life. You get to represent Jesus this week. There's going to be laughter. There's going to be tears. There's going to be giggles. There's going to be spills. There's going to be teachers on Friday who are praising the Lord. It's over. It's over. Thank God it's over. Okay? But it is a divine appointment. You and I have the opportunity. I want you to look with me very quickly at Matthew 5:14. We're going to wrap this up. I promise. You have a divine appointment. God already knows. Beginning in Matthew 5:14, God already knows every child, every parent, everyone that will come in this building. He already knows who's coming. And He set up a divine appointment for you Bible school workers and for you helpers and for you other folks. He has set up divine appointments. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus, in speaking, said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to those who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I need you to understand something, Bible school folks. I need you to understand something, church folks. You and I are the only Jesus these folks will see. Any of you ever seen Jesus? I don't mean you've seen His handiwork. Have you actually seen Him? I've never seen him, but I believe in him.
Amen.
And you know how I came to see him or to know more about it? Was because I had parents and friends and then Sunday school teachers and VBS workers and others that shined the light of Christ for me to see. Now, I want you to understand something real quick. It's not your words as much as your deeds. This week, we may smile, and I know there are going to be some frustrating times. Sylvia will throw me out of her room at least twice this week, I guarantee. Hopefully it's only once, right, Sylvia? There are going to be some times this week when you're going to get frustrated and you're going to be tempted to say, do not let them hear it. I would love to wring that little darling's neck. You are this week in Bible school, Jesus for them. You are Jesus for them. Now, we can't be the perfect Lord, but we're to shine His light. And for those of you that are going to be home this week, I understand, please pray that they'll shine, that we'll shine brightly. We have a divine appointment. Now, let me tell you what's so exciting. Our folks, our ladies who took the ball and ran with it on getting this children's area done and the area at 80% done was because anybody, I want you to take pictures of it. I want you to put it on Facebook. Folks, I've been to churches all over America, and for a church our size, we have transformed that place, and the best is still yet to come. To look like a children's area, to spruce up the adult area, it gonna make a difference. It is. And as those children come this week, we want to pray for them and pray with them when the opportunity comes. Bible school is the number one opportunity. Now, I do not push evangelism and Bible school on children like some of my pastor buddies do. They'll get up and stand before 200 kids and go, you want to have Jesus in your heart? Yeah, and they'll have them say the prayer and come down here, and they'll swear they had 200 decisions in Bible school. But I believe we'll have some decisions. I know we will plant some seed. I know we will water some seed that needs it. And maybe, just maybe, God will give us the opportunity to see the fruit come full force. And that's what we want to pray about. The number one way in Southern Baptist Convention for children to come to know the Lord. You know when they come to know the Lord? In vacation Bible school. So we have a divine appointment this week and really every week. And we get to shine the light of Christ. Now, we're going to close this service, and I didn't forewarn any of them, but we're going to do something really special, and then we're going to close with an invitation, and I want all of our Bible school folks, everybody that's a volunteer, teacher, assistant teacher, cook, bottle washer, trash carrier, whatever you are, I want you all to stand up and come right down here. I want you to all gather right down here. Kind of get together. I don't want them all looking at you, but bottle up. Get together, group hug. Now, I'm not doing this to pick on the rest of you, but I need our deacons, Greg and Perry, and if you've been a deacon here, I want you to come up on this stage, and we're going to stand behind them, and we're going to pray for them. And we're going to pray that God will use them. If you've been, Bob, you've been a deacon here, come on. Active or inactive. Robert, I think you have. If you've been a deacon here, come on. We want you here. Perry, I know you can't get up here, but you get to lead from in front. If you'll kind of get behind somebody. Wayne, come on up here behind them, if you will. All right, squeeze in. So Wayne and Bob and Greg and Robert can get through. I just like the lineup must be behind them. We're going to have a prayer for them. And we're going to pray that this is the most wonderful divine appointment week we have. These folks are offering their life. Deacons and congregation, deacons from back here, you from up there, and we're not trying to go charismatic on you, not that there'd be anything wrong with that. If you'll reach your hands toward them, that we're praying for them. Let's do that right now. Father, these people are giving a week out of their life. And there's been much preparation, so it's much more than 5 days. they are giving time out of their lives to accept your divine appointment for the children, for the teenagers, and for the adults that will come through our doors. Lord, we're not trying to make them members of Holloway's. We're merely trying to sow, water, and reap the message of the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their sacrifice. We pray that you will give them something we're all going to need. Patience. Lord, may it be a wonderful, fruitful time. May we remember that it's not only our words, but our actions that shine the light of Christ. Father, as we close this service, we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.